Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Hey, everybody. Just to follow up the cold open on the last show where I talked about my Oscar predictions, I got 14 out of 23 right. But, you know, I still got to see a lot of great movies because I completed the DLM challenge, hashtag DLM Oscar challenge, if you want to try to do it along with me next year and, you know, just see a bunch of great movies. Enjoy the show.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, because Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love Malton's Movie Guide. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you once again from, it's been over a year? Damn. With another Homes Alone edition. It's Thursday, April 29th, 2021. And my guests for this month's bonus episode, every month has four regular episodes and then one bonus episode. And so I always get a sick lineup for the bonus episode. And this time it happens to be David Desmalchian, Vanessa Gonzalez, and Leonard Malton.
Oh, howdy.
Yeah.
Oh, hi. Hello. Hi. And how you doing?
A bonus episode, even in a short month like April.
What about it?
Well, they're only 30 days as opposed to 31. This is leading nowhere. I just thought I'd.
I think it makes us that much more special, Leonard. The fact that it's a shorter month and we qualified for the bonus, if it had been like, I guess the only thing better than that would be February. But that's all right. That's your extra special.
Well, I'm buying it. If you're selling it, I'm buying it.
Yeah. I've got some bubble bath I'm selling too. Sorry. Go ahead.
Let's meet everybody individually. As I do most times alphabetically, David Desmalchian is back.
Yay. I'm clapping for myself because you guys can't see me.
Now, this has been crazy because how long has it been since the time you made an appearance on the show in Atlanta, Georgia?
That would have been the fall of 2019, correct?
I think so. Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
So
Steve Agee and I wandered down and I was so excited to meet you. And my best friend, Steve, said, come play with me. And the rest, as they say, is history, because then the pandemic happened.
Yeah. And so now you're on this show again, Doug Loves Movies, finally able to say that the movie you were making at that time is about to come out. And also you could say a little bit more about it than you could the previous time you were on Doug Liu's Movies, where you and Steve basically just couldn't say anything about what was happening. I don't even think you could say that you're a Polka Dot Man at that point.
I could not. Now I could say it all. Once it's hit the golden pages of Ion Film or wherever it's been in now, it's been in a lot of places. Empire's put a magazine out about it. Yes, I am the dotted one, the Polka Dot Man, member of the Task Force X in James Gunn's Suicide Squad, which will be going to theaters in August. Yes, theaters. It will be on IMAX and in movie theaters. So go get your vaccine so you could go to the movie theater and see the film in the theater the way it was supposed to be seen.
Yeah, I can't wait. I think that's, August is like perfect timing, I think, because, so many people will be vaccinated and, the weather will just be nice. Maybe we could find outdoor screenings of it, which would be amazing. Drive-ins, of course. I've been enjoying going to drive-ins this whole pandemic, I must admit.
I saw my first film in a theater recently, but it was only it was a different film that I worked on. But my wife and I got to go to Warner Brothers and sit in a movie theater all by ourselves. And yet they still had a security guard standing at the front of the theater watching us the whole time to make sure, I guess, that we weren't taking pictures with our phones. It was really odd. And we had to sit seven seats apart from one another in this big movie theater by ourselves. It was really interesting.
Did you do you think that guy has an awful job or a great job?
I guess it depends, because he doesn't get to watch the screen. So even if he loves movies, like, what a tease that is. But I think if he really likes, like, I guess I would have been a fun person to be watching, because I was so excited about the movie that I was getting to see. And then when I was sitting there watching it, I think I just kept like jumping out of my seat and like cheering and like being so excited. So, it depends on the person, I guess.
I could just see you yelling at the guy, "You should see this shit. Yeah. This is great."
Dude, you are missing out, man. Oh, man.
Yeah, back in the day when This Is 40 was about to come out, Judd Apatow set up a screening for me and one of his other friends, mutual friends of ours, Wayne Fetterman, at Universal. And there was a guy standing there, but he could watch the movie. He was like behind us, but he was allowed to watch the movie. And then must have been, it's like 2 hours long. It's a Judd Apatow comedy. So at one point, he just took a seat. He just was like, you know what? I feel like these two guys aren't going to have a problem with this. So he just sat down, and I felt better, because I was like, man, it's bad enough that we have to have a guy standing through an entire movie just to make sure we don't steal it. What would we do with any part of This Is 40?
Yeah, I was thinking that about the film I was watching, because like it's a movie that comes out later this year, and it's like, I'm in the thing. What am I going to do? What am I going to go bootleg a 5-minute clip that I put on my Snapchat and get, maybe.
I guess, the antics of people like Mark Ruffalo have kind of made all superhero actors. They like keep them on a really short leash now.
That's true.
And it still doesn't work sometimes. Actors, should probably just not do interviews when they're in these things, because they're going to slip up somehow.
This is true. I slipped up when I got cast in the Twin Peaks, The Return, and I was so excited to talk about it. And I'm not bringing this up because I'm wearing this shirt, which is odd, but I was on the Svengoolie show, and I mentioned that I was going to be on a series I was excited about where we could talk about it over a cup of coffee and a slice of cherry pie. And they immediately called me and were like, "Did you just tell people that you're going to be on Twin Peaks?" And I was like, "Oh shoot, I guess I kind of did." And they were not happy. So you have to like watch it,
Yeah. It's risky. Everybody's got a, some sort of sell or mention date that they have for the, for all these projects. But thank you for coming back, and
thanks for having me,
of course,
man.
of course, I hope to do this again in person, which would, you know, hopefully we could do it around the release of the movie. One more quick question.
Yes.
You were very clear to also emphasize the word the. So like the idea is this is called The Suicide Squad. And that other last one was just Suicide Squad. Is that like a way to, is that a distinction maker?
Yeah, from what I've been able to understand about it, it's what I guess the term that they've used is like a soft reboot, because there are characters that are returning with the same actors playing them from the last film. But one of the really awesome things about The Suicide Squad, like the comic series, I mean, especially the John Ostrander stuff, which James was incredibly inspired by when making this film, is that you assemble a group of, you know, it's like the Dirty Dozen. Like, you know, Amanda Waller could just grab any 4, 5, 6, 10, you know, supervillains sitting in supervillain prison and be like, hey, you want some time off your sentence? Well, then you're going on this mission. So it's just like each of these stories about the Suicide Squad, it's not the same team. It doesn't have to be the same people. It's a concept. So I feel like, but I think also in calling it The Suicide Squad, because it's a new director, a new writer, like a new vision, it also creates a doorway of freedom creatively where you can be like, yeah, this is just the same concept, new movie, you know?
Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't either. I've seen the trailer, but I haven't seen the movie yet, and I'm dying to. I can't wait.
I haven't broken down and watched the trailer because I'm so anti-trailer. I know I want to see the movie, so I don't need the trailer, but I also know that I would love the trailer.
you'd really like the trailer, I think.
Vanessa Gonzalez is here. Hi, Vanessa.
Hello. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for being patient during my interview with Polka Dot Man. You, of course, are hot off of my 420 Rush Ticks show. Thank you so much for doing that.
That was so fun. And I never let myself get super stoned for a show. But because I was at home and because it was 420, I was like, okay, I'm going in. And it was a blast.
Yeah, that was a very nice time. You were a guest on the very first Zoom version of this show that we did last year on, I believe, around April 9th. So it's been a little over a year of doing this show in this style. Yeah. And also, thanks. You're getting out and doing some stand-up too. You have actual dates to promote?
Yeah. I just did a headlining. I co-headlined with Sean Patton at the New Creek in the Cave in Austin here, which was great. You got to come check it out. I'm sure they'd love to have you. I still have like pending dates, but I'm excited to kind of put together a little tour coming up soon. I'm just pumped to like be performing again because I missed it.
We'll give out your socials again at the end so people can follow you and come check you out, because your stand-up is great and people would love it, especially now when they're, you know, everybody's getting back out. Also joining us today, the patron saint of the program or something like that. It's Leonard Maltin. Hello, Leonard.
Hey, Doug.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I started out strong a year ago because I was lucky enough to get two writing gigs in a row for books. And that gave me a purpose. A perfect morning and a distraction. I lost myself in the chore of writing, and I was enjoying the writing these. This was not, I shouldn't use the word chore, but it was great because it overtook my life and distracted me from COVID and everything that goes along with it. And then I finished. And I found myself in the same boat as everybody else, one thing melting into the next. And I find I'm task oriented, so I've been inventing tasks that I have to get done. I mean, they're all useful things: organizing and pruning stuff and throwing things away. I'm feeling a little aimless at the moment.
Yeah, I hear you. I have been very jealous of everyone who had like kind of an ongoing thing that was able to continue. Because, you know, most things I was involved with got shut down, but I've been very grateful to be able to do all of my podcasts, you know, this way. And it's been an interesting way to keep in touch with everybody without having to resort to that disaster that is FaceTime.
Yeah. I have been actually maintaining my class at USC. In fact, I teach the last class of the spring semester tonight. All, of course, via Zoom. Last calendar year, we started the spring semester in January in person, per usual, in Norris Theater on the campus. And we got, I think, about a third of the way through before they lowered the boom. And it was an uncomfortable adjustment. And because suddenly I'm talking, look, I'm telling you guys, your stand-ups, have you worked for a non-audience on Zoom? more disconcerting than making what you might think is a flippant or funny remark and hearing nothing. boy, that's...
Yeah.
I show an old shorter cartoon at the beginning of every class. My wife will say, well, did it go over well? I said, I have no idea. I got one good advice from a friend who back in New Jersey, who's also teaching. He said, you know, everybody's name is in the lower corner of those boxes on Zoom. I find it's really beneficial to refer to them by name. It personalizes the whole experience. And I followed his lead, and it helps. It doesn't solve the bigger issue, but it helps.
I just like to assume that I'm killing it on Zoom shows. I just know they're eating it up.
Well, that's the only way you can approach it.
Yeah,
you just have to dive in and do it. And that's why, you know, I'm grateful that we don't have to worry about audience reaction, in this version of the show, because it's like a radio show. But I am excited to say that, we're going to start, it'll be small crowds. So it won't be like, the roaring that you normally hear at Douglas Movies taping, but it'll at least have more of that feel, and we'll be in front of people again, probably as early as June, I think.
Yeah. So everybody should adopt the technique of the big sports teams and have just, crowd noises and cheering. Why not? It worked for them. I'm not a sports guy, but my son-in-law, who lives here in the same house with my daughter, is a big hockey fan. And so I've, walked past the room when he's watching the Kings play, it makes it, we expect to hear that sound. And when you do hear that sound, it seems like things are normal. So they're not.
Oh man, it was my heart broke. I watched as my 7-year-old, the teacher trying to do Zoom class for first and second graders this year. it was like watching, like someone trying to choreograph the Nutcracker with a bunch of cats or something. I was just like, this poor woman, and she's doing her best. And it's been crazy.
I should say, before we move on to the next part of the show, that Leonard might have said that Nomadland was his favorite movie of the year as long ago as maybe November or December. And now finally it's paid off. Nomadland went all the way through all the award shows and finally took down Best Picture the other night. Were you pleased with that decision?
I was very pleased, of course, and with Frances McDormand and Chloe Zhao being so amply rewarded. And but of course, by that time, it was the sort of the safe prediction for everybody to make. But I did feel that way as soon as I saw it. I just it got to me. And Frances McDormand, the film opens on a close-up of her face. And she just projects a kind of honesty, you know, and kind of an integrity that of course suited the character. But it just like you had me, hello, that was it.
Yeah, it's an amazing film. And I liked all of the movies that were nominated this year. There's usually one or two things in there that, you know, bore me to death. But this year, they, even though it was, there were no big, you know, necessarily popular movies. But all the movies that would be popular just, you know, pushed their release dates back anyway, you know? So it's sort of like the year of the art house movie, which mm-hmm. in some ways made the competition, you know, tougher for the Oscars and all the other awards. I always ask everybody on the show to recommend one film to the listeners. Could be something that you think would be especially uplifting in these particular times, or you could have any other reason for recommending it. But let's start with Leonard. Please recommend a movie.
Well, I'm going to recommend a movie that some people may have seen that got virtually no Oscar love, News of the World.
Okay.
Starring Tom Hanks and directed by Paul Greengrass, who also co-wrote the screenplay based on the best-selling novel. I think it's a wonderful movie. And we also take Tom Hanks for granted. We expect him to give a really good performance, but which he does. But I think he touches facets of a character that it's not cliche, it's not repetitive, it's not something you've seen him do before. And he's terrific. And the 11-year-old German girl who works with him is a real find. She's awfully, awfully good.
Yeah, the acting is tremendous. And, you know, it's just a Western's a tough sell. And then on top of that, it's a Western where the protagonist is just a guy who reads newspapers to people. He's not like a cowboy. Mm-hmm. So when he gets in predicaments, I mean, Greengrass is the king of on-screen tension. He makes the most tense movies, even without having to ever resort to extreme violence on screen. He still manages to make, he's great with the suspense. But it's interesting in this one, because it's a Western and old-timey, he doesn't use the shaky camera work that's normally his style, but it's still got some very suspenseful sequences in that film.
Yep. Yep.
All right. We've had someone else recommended that a few months back, I think, and you know, it just needs to get out there. I guess it's on what's it on? Like Apple, maybe? Apple TV. It's on one of the streaming services. And,
yes, it is. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a film that had a very odd release pattern. It's a Universal mm-hmm. picture. So it's from a major studio, and they decided to go ahead with the release instead of holding it back as they, you know, as they and the other studios did with a lot of other A-list movies. So it was technically in theaters in December, only nobody knew it because there were no theaters open.
Yeah, I was at some drive-ins.
Exactly. And so, I mean, I posted a review online, but I don't know who could have taken advantage of reading that you know, positive review. Then, after a couple of months, they did release it on premium video on demand, which is where they try to soak you for $20.
Right.
Yeah. Be among the first on your block to get to see the film.
Yeah.
And then when they wrung that dry, they sell it or license it to, you know, some of the more conventional, you know, iTunes and Apple and I don't know what other services they're using, you know, for maybe $3.99 or $4.99 or $5.99. And then they have a guy who comes to your door and knocks on the door and says, "Hey, take this movie, please." It's, you know, they've a whole battery of ways of releasing a film now.
Yeah. We're crawling back. The people are, you know, going back into theaters. Today was an exciting announcement for Los Angelinos because the Alamo Drafthouse downtown is going to reopen at the end of May. And it's going to be very social distanced. And you can even, you know, the theaters are so small, you could even just rent out a theater for you, a few of your friends. And so I'm very excited that that's coming back.
Hey, were you excited to see Alamo Lamar on the Oscar show?
Yeah, that was very cool. You know, people probably, nobody knows it, but that's, you know, that's part of the Alamo Drafthouse chain. And it's where they do a Fantastic Fest every year and a lot of South by Southwest events. But one year when Leonard and I were both there at Fantastic Fest, they put a plaque, the year of Parasite, they put a plaque up on the wall. And I forget if it says June Bong Ho or Bong Ho June, because people were saying his name wrong for a long time and he just wouldn't correct them. I'm not sure which name they ended up putting on the theater, but anyway, the theater is named after him now. And that little plaque, I could see it way there in the background behind Matthew McConaughey and his crazy COVID hair. But yeah, that was cool to see. David, what's your recommendation? That just any, you know, one single movie for any reason you want.
Recent movies that I don't know if people have seen yet. Because I have young kids, I really enjoyed the animated film. It was called Wolf Walkers. Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix, I believe. We watched it. It's based on, I don't want to screw this up, but I want to say like some Irish folk tale. Story and the performances and the voices and the way it all came together. And then I'll just slip in, because I know it's a 2 year ago release, but it hit the States last year. Was I'm a big horror guy and I love Joko Anwar's films, and I saw Impetigore. And if anybody hasn't sought that out and you like a good scare in a well-made film, he's just like a current master rising up. And I think Impetigore. So I broke the rules. I gave you two. There it is.
Yeah. I'm just going to take Wolfwalkers though, because like you said, it is available on streaming. It's easy to find.
Oh, good.
Easy to spell. And it's also
good for your heart. It's good for your heart.
It's very good. I thought the animation category in the Oscars this year was fairly strong. And, you know, that was one of them. Okay, Vanessa?
I recommend Barb and Star because it made me laugh so much, and I hadn't laughed that much in a movie in a long time. It actually premiered when we were having like that big Texas winter storm here, so it was like hard times, and that was like the perfect thing to take us out of it. And yeah, the music, the dances, it was just, it's so good.
I love both of those ladies and how much fun they seem to be having, how silly it all is, but it still somehow, you know, feels real. What's his name? Jamie Dornan, you know, is a comedy highlight, and who knew, because he's only been in, you know, 50 Shades movies.
Yeah.
And, he's actually really good in a movie called Synchronic that's on Netflix now with Anthony Mackie. Nice. But Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar. Here's a fun tidbit for you and everyone. I just heard that those two, Annie Mumolo and Kristen Wiig, are going to they're going to co-star in a movie, a Cinderella movie that's from the perspective of her sisters. So they're going to play the sisters.
That's awesome.
I mean, I if they acted that. Just like Barb and Star, it would be so funny.
Oh, I know. Barb and Star are like SpongeBob and Patrick to me, like if they were grown up women.
Yeah, that's a very good comparison. Yeah. And that's a fun set of recommendations. I put them out on the Douglas Movies Twitter account for people to vote, pick their favorite. You don't even need to look at it, you guys, but it's always fun to see what people are watching, and also to encourage people to watch the ones of these three that they have yet to see. I've got some games prepared that we're going to play, but we have to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We're back. Is everybody ready to play some games?
Yep.
Ready.
Ready.
All right. This first game we're going to play. Keep in mind, the first game is always just a warm-up. It doesn't really matter that much for the ultimate win. It only determines that you get to go first in the next game, which going first might not even be an advantage. Okay. So keeping all of that in mind, we're going to play Whose Line Is It Anyway? 1939 edition. So I'm going to say the tagline, or a tagline that was used in the advertising for a motion picture that came out in 1939. Many argue, Leonard, where are you on this? Is that the greatest year of filmmaking ever?
I'm not a strong proponent of that, but since I love the 1930s as a decade of movie making so much, I don't argue with either.
Right. Plus also, I'm sure you're like me, and except for some of them, you don't even know for sure what came out in 39 or 38 or 40. You know, like they, yeah. you know, I guess there's a certain amount of 1939 movies that are always get referenced as, oh, these all came out that year. But so what I'm going to do is, as I'm going to say the tagline, we'll go in alphabetical order. So we'll start with David. I'll say the tagline to you, David, and then you get one guess.
Okay.
If you don't guess it, then we go to Vanessa. She gets a shot. Then Leonard, he gets a shot. These are all extremely difficult. Some of them barely have clues in them. But I will tell you that these are all from 1939.
Got it. Ready.
David, what movie from 1939 had the tagline, entertainment as powerful as the strength of the people?
Was it Odette's I skip. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Pass. Passing is cool. Passing's cool. Vanessa?
Citizen Kane.
See, you've already figured out how to play this. Just, I mean, it's going to always be a great guess. It's not the correct answer, but it is a terrific guess. Leonard, do you think you know what it is?
I don't. It sounds like something they would say about the Grapes of Wrath, which came out a year later.
So you do know what came out in 1940.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably like the 2000s that you're kind of not sure on.
Oh, that's where I get very sloppy. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it was a sloppy decade.
I'm narrowing it down to two possibilities.
Okay.
Mr. Smith Goes to Washington or Young Mr. Lincoln. Am I anywhere warm? Warmish.
Well, I know you listen to the program and you probably know that's not how the games work. So you have to pick, you just have to pick one title, and I'm not going to tell, I'm not going to even hint if either of those was even close to being correct.
Okay. I'll say Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
That is correct.
Ooh. Wow.
Wow.
Yes, the strength of the people is what gave it away to Leonard that it was a political motion picture. But yes, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Leonard is on the board with 1 point. We're back to you, David.
I'm ready.
What movie has a tagline? A powerful story of nine strange people.
A powerful story of nine strange people. A powerful
story
of nine strange people. Is it Legally Blonde?
One of the best movies from 1939 that people think came out much later. Vanessa?
A Very Brady sequel.
Now you're just, you could have said Citizen Kane again.
Oh, Citizen Kane.
Just make that your guess for all.
That would probably be a powerful story of a man and his strange sled. Powerful story of nine strange people, Leonard. Tell them what it is.
John Ford's Stagecoach.
That is correct.
Got it.
I'm writing these down.
This game is going exactly as I'd hoped. So the nine strange people is, you recognize that, of course, is they're all in a stagecoach together, or one guy's sitting up top, I guess. But that was pretty much the only clue, that in 1939. So excellent work.
Excellent work. Leonard, just killing it.
All the hard work ain't been in vain for nothing.
Surprise! Leonard Maltin's just cleaning up in the
game. You notice he's not giving me clues to, as he's indicated before, films from 2007.
Yeah. That'd be a little rougher, but this is super fun. All right, David, you ready?
I guess so. I'm going to do my best.
I love this. This is a great tagline, and Leonard's going to know exactly what this is. Don't pronounce it. See it.
Oh my God. Xanadu.
No, Vanessa.
Citizen Kane.
Wow, you did pronounce it. But don't pronounce it. See it is the tagline for what, Leonard?
Ninotchka.
That's correct. Yeah, of course, the other one for that was Garbo Laughs, I think, because she, you know, she made the transition for, Leonard knows way more about this than I do, but she is an actress who was popular in silent films and managed to continue to work in talkies, which was hard to do, right?
Well, they advertised her first sound film with the phrase "Garbo talks!" exclamation point.
Yeah.
So 9 years later, and they thought, well, if it worked once, maybe it'll work again. Because he has a scene in this film where he's playing a Russian, very stoic, sober Russian woman. And there's a scene where Melvin Douglas falls off his chair in an awkward kind of way, and she laughs uproariously. So that was the tagline.
I love it. Do you guys give up, David and Vanessa, or should we do another one?
Oh, what do you mean? I feel like we're neck and neck right now.
Yeah. We can catch up.
We got this.
All right. Let me try one that I think. We'll see. Maybe nobody will get this one. David, what movie had the tagline, "The greatest picture in the history of entertainment"? A lot of hyperbole in taglines back in the day.
I don't even know what, but I believe, because this was around the time we're transitioning from black and white to color. So if I was a studio executive, I would have christened probably a movie like The Wizard of Oz with that.
That is correct.
Are you serious?
I am serious. You did it. You did it.
I should go work in the studios.
I mean, I kind of expected, not unlike Citizen Kane, I expected Wizard of Oz to like come up as a guest a lot. But all of those movies, the one thing they have in common besides 1939 is they were all nominated for Best Picture. And it was a year where 10 movies were nominated for Best Picture.
Wow.
And just for fun, I want to tell you two more that I found. What movie, Leonard, do you think from 1939 was nominated for Best Picture and had the tagline, "The best picture of any year"?
That's I mean, they're basically tagline. Saying
the best picture of all time.
Wow.
Doesn't matter what year we're talking about.
Wolf Cop.
Yeah. They said, no, not Wolf Cop. They said that for the movie Goodbye, Mr. Chips.
Indeed.
And
which cost Clark Gable an Oscar that year, because Gone with the Wind swept much of the award bounty, except that Robert Donat was so well loved for his performance as the elderly or the lifelong school teacher in Goodbye, Mr. Chips, he took Best Actor.
Right. I mean, he was the titular character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas Clark Gable did not play Gone or Wind. I cracked myself up with that one. All right.
That was
and, and the
price of admission.
The tagline for of Mice and Men really cracked me up, because the tagline is powerful in its grim humor appeal.
Whoa.
What?
I think they really just wanted to trick people into thinking it might be kind of funny, but that movie is heavy.
A gun to the back of the head for the poor mentally disabled man.
And yeah.
There we go. It's grim humor.
Oh, Lord. All right. Well, congratulations to Leonard Maltin for winning that game. But like I said, the work is really still yet to be done. The tough part comes next. And we'll do that right after this break. We'll be right back.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We're back. As promised, Leonard Maltin gets to go first in the game that's sweeping the nation, maybe even the world. I think, Leonard, you might have heard us play this before. It's called Parental Guidance.
I have never played this on your show.
Right, but you're familiar with it?
No, because you're going to tell me.
Yeah, I am. No, that's the deal. That's the deal I have with my guests, is they don't have to know how the games work. I will explain it. I'm going to give out snippets of parental guidance, you know, comments and reviews that I found online. Mostly they live on the IMDb. And then you tell me what movie we're talking about. I'll do clues one at a time. We'll take turns like in the last game. So each person, when it's their turn, will have more clues to work with. But the person who goes first will get a final clue and a second chance at it if they don't guess it immediately, because the first clue is so tough. And everyone's going to get a chance to go first.
Got it.
I know. It's a lot to take in. And I'll just walk everybody through it. The first round begins with Leonard. Then we'll go to David, then to Vanessa. Leonard, what movie do you think... See, this is not going to be a great clue, so just take a wild stab at it.
Thanks for underselling it so much.
What movie has all of these clues are going to be like those last set of clues were for David and Vanessa. All three of you are going to be baffled. This movie has no alcohol, drugs, or smoking is a warning, or I guess, you know, it's almost like they're saying that's a reason why kids can see it. But as you know, there's lots of awful things that happen in movies besides alcohol, drugs, and smoking. So what movie do you think it is?
Are we zeroing in on any kind of time period here?
No. Oh, actually, it's during the time when films have been made. During the last century of filmmaking. What do you think? Any guess?
Citizen Kane.
Terrific guess.
There's lots of smoking in that movie. You know that. They have cigarettes in both hands in that movie.
Well, yeah, because how else were they going to make the set look smoky? Human smoke machines. Okay.
I think so, I know what it is.
But the clues are going to get more obvious. I love that you have a guess already. David, you do get to go next, but you also get to get one more clue. So cool your jets.
I'm cooling them.
Someone wrote on IMDb as a warning, people, forgive me if I'm not pronouncing this correctly, people with lilapsophobia may find it unnerving.
Mm.
Yeah, so key to this clue would be knowing what lilapsophobia is.
I think I'm 100% right now. My instincts are right on. Okay, I believe this is the Tobe Hooper classic, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Because what is lilapsophobia?
Oh, it's got to be a fear of power tools, I think.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure, right? I was right.
That sounds right.
But I love your confidence. You know, I get so excited that you're going to say it, you know, that you have the answer. Vanessa.
Yeah.
Here we go. I said, the clues get a little easier. The fourth clue should be the giveaway clue, but sometimes earlier clue gives it away because I'm not perfect.
Okay.
The scenes where the tornado approaches the farm may be frightening to some kids.
Oh, okay. I know this. This is the Disney remake, Citizen Kids.
Again, you all get me so excited with your confidence. I really thought you were going to nail it. All right, so it's back to Leonard.
Dang.
We'll probably be winning the point on this round.
No fair.
Because the fourth piece of parental guidance that I found said, the Wicked Witch throws a fireball at the Scarecrow. Name that movie, Leonard.
The Wizard of Oz.
That is correct.
From 1939.
And that was fun, but the rest of the movies are going to be, there's no other movies from 1939. I just thought it'd be fun. I just loved it. I love that the Wizard of Oz, like if you go through all of the things it says that children might be frightened by, it barely mentions the flying monkeys. like they're an afterthought. The trees are scarier according to them, and the tornado is scarier.
What is that phobia you said?
That is a phobia of tornadoes, which I think is the most reasonable of all phobias. There's no one that's pro tornado.
Yeah. You guys, my kids, 7 and 4, can handle Large Marge from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. We watched William Castle's The 13 Ghosts. They can handle a lot. Those monkeys, no, it was done. Yeah. The weekend was a sleepless weekend. I was really cursing.
Hey, you know what? It's too late for you, but I got advice for other parents out there. Show your kid The Great and Powerful Oz. They may not love it, but Zach Braff plays a lovable version of a flying monkey who just talks and makes quips the whole time and is perfectly likable. And then show him Wizard of Oz and be like, oh, they're related. They're just like the bad apples in that other guy's family. It's no big deal.
Brilliant. Thanks for that advice. A year too late, Doug.
Too late.
I blame you for ruining that weekend.
Every now and again, I will find myself watching Encore's Westerns channel, and they have a new to me anyway, warning. You know how V means violence, and TVMA means mature audiences and all that? Mm-hmm. They have O, C, D, outdated cultural depiction.
Wow. I mean, that's most Westerns. As soon as you have Indians, as soon as Indians are the bad guy, then that's game over.
Yep.
Another reason why News of the World is a more acceptable Western for today's times.
True.
Because it doesn't make it about the Indians, it makes it about all the a-hole white people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. Great job, everybody, but Leonard has a point. David gets to go first this time, though, and he gets the toughest clue.
Okay.
But you get the easy one at the end if it gets there. A woman changes shirts. Her bra is briefly seen.
I'm going to go with... Will success spoil Rock Hunter?
I don't have time to answer that question.
You son of a gun.
But no, that's not right. Now we go to Vanessa, and she gets a second clue. In addition to a woman changing shirts where you could see her bra, a-hole, I just said it, a-hole is said once.
My best friend's wedding.
Good guess.
Really good guess. Really, not really wrong, but wrong. I don't know what would count as really wrong.
Probably will spoil Rock Hunter.
I don't know. I don't know. Because both of those things could have happened in both those movies. But let's go to clue number 3. And the king, Leonard Maltin. A teacher is accused of selling drugs.
I know it.
Timing is a huge part of this kind of game. This one might have passed Vanessa by, but Leonard's got a shot. And then David. Any guesses, Leonard?
To die for.
I like that. That's a good movie, I think. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it in a minute.
I haven't seen it since it came out.
Yeah, Gus Van Sant. Okay, but no, that's not it. David, are you ready?
I'm ready.
I hope this gives it away. This one I really thought hard about because I thought there's a chance no one will figure it out. A teen girl gets run over by a bus. She survives, but has a spinal injury. Vanessa knows it.
Huh. Unfortunately,
David.
The principal.
No. It's
try the girl can't help it.
The girl can't. There it is.
Does somebody get hit by a bus and the girl can't help it?
Three times, Doug. How long is it in the film?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I bet she got more than a spinal injury, but maybe not. Tell them what it is, Vanessa.
Mean Girls.
That's correct. That's correct. So we'll give Vanessa an asterisk. We'll give her a little star that says also ran. Because she did get it. She did get it eventually.
That movie came out during my homeless drug addict phase of my life. I never saw that movie. I need to go back and I've always heard that that's a good movie and it always gets referenced and people will send me memes thinking I know what they're talking about when people go into a food fight or something. I need to see that film. I'm going to go watch that tonight.
Yeah. I mean, if you'd seen it, I apologize for the spoilers, but if you'd see it, you'll see all of these when you watch the movie and go, oh, okay. Yeah. Vanessa got it, and the teacher's accused of selling drugs because that's something that happens to Tina Fey in the movie. Okay. All right. So we got to settle this thing. Leonard's winning.
Of course.
In general. But.
In life.
We got another round. We got another round where somebody can, try and tie this thing up. And Vanessa gets to go first this time. Vanessa, tough clue. A nude statue is shown in the church. And it is the church and not a church. If that makes any difference to you.
I'm going to say dogma.
You got a church movie in there. That's the best you could hope for at this point. But no. Leonard. A young girl is injected with a sedative.
Nothing. I got nothing.
Okay. I mean,
I got
good for,
this.
Good for you. Good for you not having movies where young girls
I'm gonna
are injected
beat
with
Leonard
sedatives
Moulton.
Coming
I'm
into
beat
your head.
Leonard Moulton at a.
All right.
So excited right now.
Do you want the third clue?
No.
Oh, he's gonna do it without the third clue. So
dang.
A breakout performance, the incredible Linda Blair in The Exorcist.
That is correct.
Oh my,
well done.
Yes, well, so well done.
It is only one of my favorite films of all time. So there you go.
Yeah,
that
there you go.
The Werewolf and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and right up there with Promises, Promises. Thank you.
Oh, okay. That was well, one out of four you could show your children someday. The third clue was going to be a police officer tells a priest about a murder in graphic detail. Because I feel like that doesn't sound like The Exorcist, but it does happen in that movie. And then the fourth clue, the giveaway clue, which I loved reading this sentence. Just, because they're just so blunt. They're just so straightforward about they list the dumbest things, like a cigarette is smoked, and then it comes to some sexual related insults are said by a little girl while she is possessed by the devil.
That's pretty mildly.
Yeah, exactly. No, and then they go on to say that, you know, the movie doesn't have anything else that's objectionable other than her swearing. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? They even say there's no on-screen violence to speak of. And I'm just like, well, what did you think she was doing with that crucifix?
Yeah. They saw the edited NBC version back when they used to show those movies on Friday nights, and they cut them, like, down to about 25%. That's the one they saw.
All right. Well, we got to do one more round to settle this, or hopefully settle it. We've got Leonard with 1 point, David with 1 point, and Vanessa's got an asterisk. So if Vanessa wins this next point, she wins the game. If Leonard gets this next point, he wins the game. David, whoever wins this next point is the winner. And we're back to starting with Vanessa, see, winning that last game. Oh, I mean, I'm sorry, starting with Leonard because he won that last game. Leonard, what movie has this warning attached to it? At the beginning, Vitruvius says he is coming, cover your butt.
Again, please.
At the beginning, Vitruvius says, he is coming, cover your butt.
I'm not seeing signs of recognition on either Vanessa or David's face.
No. Oh, you cheater.
So that makes me feel less ignorant than I feel right now.
All right. We'll move on to David. You ready?
Ready.
All right. Uni Kitty becomes very sad when Cloud Cuckoo Land is destroyed.
Wreck-It Ralph?
No. Vanessa.
That was a good guess, though.
Yeah. You ready for your clue? You don't have to guess yet until you hear it.
Yes,
you don't have to get all cocky like David did that last round.
Yeah, I would like a clue, please.
You deserve to hear it. The clue is Lord Business says boob.
Space Jam?
No. All right, Leonard, it's back to you.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. You know, the fourth clue gives it away, so let's see what happens.
All right.
Sometimes the fourth clue gives it away. A man can't find his pants, but being made of Legos, he has no genitalia.
A Lego What's the name? Movie?
Leonard, why? All you had to say was the Lego movie.
Well, I was fearful that not be it.
It counts.
I mean, I guess at least he didn't say the Lego Ninjago movie. at least he picked the one that I'm in and voice and David's in, because Polka Dot Man is in that in Lego Batman. So that means that what does that mean? I thought someone would get this one. I thought someone would get this one right. So actually, it's kind of fun.
That means the comedian and this character actor tied with one of the greatest authorities on cinema in America right now. I feel like this is kind of a big deal, you guys. I feel like you kind of need to send me and Vanessa, like, I don't know, kind of prize, a gift card, a Slurpee coupon, something.
I agree.
All right, I'll go look in the prize. You should see the piles of shit that I have that I plan to give away on Doug Loves Movies when I can do it in front of an audience again. It's insane. But congratulations on a three-way tie. I think that's the perfect way to end such a fun episode. But David, give us your plugs. Obviously, The Suicide Squad is coming out in August.
Yes.
But what else should people be looking for?
Please, if you like comic books, go to your nearest comic shop and pick up Count Crowley, Reluctant Midnight Monster Hunter. The graphic novel is now available. Go see The Suicide Squad in August and go see Dune in theaters in October. Thank you.
Oh, what can you say who you are in Dune?
Yes. I think I can. Hold on. Keep talking to people. Let me see if it's on the internet that I can say it. Hold on.
Yeah, you better double check on that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I can.
Okay.
But go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's all right. Vanessa Gonzalez.
You can find me at VanessaComedy.com, Vanessa on Twitter, Vanessa Marie on Instagram, and I look forward to coming to your town and doing stand-up again.
Yes. Very cool. Thank you, Vanessa. And so, David, what's the name of your character?
Yes, I'm playing Peter DeVries, who's the Mentat of the Harkonnens, which, if you recall, David Lynch's film, the incredible legend Bradley Dourif portrayed the role in that film. So I'm stepping into some pretty big shoes to fill.
Yeah, no, he's terrific. Billy Bibbit in Cuckoo's Nest, which continues to hold up. Leonard Maltin, what do you have to promote at this time?
My podcast, which I host with my daughter Jessie, is called Maltin on Movies, and you can find it wherever better podcasts are being served up. And my website is leonardmaltin.com, where I post reviews and DVD and book film book surveys and stuff like that.
Terrific.
I'm Leonard Maltin on the socials.
Oh, okay. At Leonard Maltin. And do you have a favorite last line from a motion picture? Because
let's go with The Stuff Dreams Are Made Of.
Oh, that is a good one. What's that from?
The Maltese Falcon.
Oh, I think I did that one before, maybe. The Stuff Dreams Are Made Of. A lot of them, as you know, have really odd ending lines not every movie's setting out to have like a big important line at the very end, but I've been saying them at the end of every Doug Bowes movies for fun. So I will do that one, of course, today. Thank you again to Leonard Maltin, Vanessa Gonzalez, and David Desk Melchin. Go follow them and do their things and stuff. As always, the stuff dreams are made of.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug.